That's fine. So we will go over here and go to here, go to... Oh, good, it didn't even... Aha!
You're making lots of noises.
I am.
Lots of audible hums and haws.
Delete! I was live for 10 seconds on the wrong platform, but now we're all set. Now we're good. I fixed it. And my wife just asked me if I was live on the wrong platform because it emailed her. I am not. We're live on the correct platform. We're here. Everything's good. How's everybody else? I am Ross. Joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ian. And together, live in the correct direction, and with all four of our retinas working properly, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. I am making a silly illusion to... We were talking about this ahead of time. We were talking about the fact that there was this big solar eclipse, and it happened, and everyone... And we disagree on this. You feel like people made a big enough deal about it. I feel like too much of a big deal was made about it.
I expected that you would be a bit of a Ebenezer Scrooge about the whole thing. And you have not failed to live up to that.
I don't know if it's...
You alluded to the fact that maybe... prior to it, we were building up to this a little bit because we need a win right now. You used the word, and I thought that's a perfect way of doing it. There is so little to get excited about in the world, seemingly.
Yes.
It's nothing but doom and gloom. And something, just something to touch on to say that hauls us out of this general malaise and ennui and general blech about everything. Something to look forward to. And it would have been perfect. It would have been so on point for the whole thing to have been pissing down with rain and seen nothing. It would have said, ha, you had that to look forward to, and even that's a complete washout.
I was very impressed with, especially Nova Scotia, with after a month and a half solid of overcast, rain, storm. It was beautiful, big, sunny, you know, just a beautiful, sunny, cloudless, clear day yesterday. And I was amazed by that. The timing of that could not have been better. But I'm not trying to yuck everyone's yum. I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud. I personally felt about it. But where you say there's nothing to get excited about, I'll have you know that Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., this is what keeps me going. This is one of the things that keeps me going. I've also got that other, you know, family and stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But first is all that nonsense you're supposed to say. But the main reason that I keep going day to day is getting back here every Tuesday night that we get to drink some delicious beers and hope. I don't really have all that pessimism all that often. No, it's usually kind of, I think these are going to be great. Sometimes they're not, but I usually look forward to it. So I think this is the thing that I'm probably the most optimistic about, because otherwise would have given up a long time ago. Even tonight, we've got a lot of different styles and types, but tonight I thought, well, you know, we've got these two wheat beers, and we can argue back and forth on the pronunciation of wheat beers, but... We have some wheat beers, and they have not always been very successful for us, the wheat beers. But we've got them. And the even better news is I went onto the internet to find some descriptions of them both, and no. For different reasons. One of the reasons is one of them is old, because... And here's the other part. They're both 4.5% wheat beer, so I don't know which one to do first. We could do them in alphabetical order or in order of when they first came out, because I feel like this one, the East Coast Music Ale, the ECMA from Garrison Brewery, it's called Track 3 Halifax. Now, Track 2 was... I looked that one up. I forget what one that was, but I couldn't find this one. This is not online, mostly because the ECMA for Halifax is celebrating the fact that the ECMAs were in Halifax May 3rd to 7th of 2023. One full year ago is when this one was celebrating.
This has been hanging around in our stash for a long time. The color on the can seems to have faded over time. It's been there that long. Maybe I'm just imagining things, but the whole thing looks a bit washed out.
It does, look a little washed out, but I mean, mine isn't in the direct sunlight.
No.
Oh, it also says, so Garrison, also in collaboration with Kidi Vidi Brewery, no idea where that's from, and Grimross, and Upstreet, we've learned is in PEI, Breton Brewing out in Cape Breton. I've never heard of Grimross or Kidi Vidi, but I'm assuming for East Coast Music Awards, one of them might be in New Brunswick and one of them might be in Newfoundland. It's an estimate. Is Newfoundland included?
It's a guess. Well, all those two, I think all three of them, the bottom three we've got first-hand knowledge of. Upstreet Craft Brewing, by the way, they big Upstreet.
Yeah, your favorite.
Oh my God, the Gravedigger, the best Halloween autumn beer I've ever had was from Upstreet, and we just kept buying that, and we just bought the NSLC out of them toward the end of the season. It was wonderful. True. Breton Brewing do some great stuff. I haven't even got the right glass for that.
What surprised me about that the Gravedigger was how many of it were just, oh, clearance. We got to get rid of this delicious strong pumpkin ale. What? Okay, that's fine. However, so I can't find anything because this is out of date by a year, so you might not be able to get this anymore. I think I did find it. I did find it on the PEI and Liquor Commission, whatever they're called. I forget what it's called. So there's no description on the Garrison site because I don't think they're selling it anymore. However, here it is. Celebrating the 35th anniversary of the ECMA Festival and Conference, the craft beer collaboration is back. Brewed by local music fans, for local music fans, this crafted wheat ale pairs well with green rooms and sing-alongs. What a weird thing to say.
Oh.
So it smells like stale 70s carpet?
And sweat.
It's a very sweaty beer. Why not? 50 cents from every can will be donated to the ECMA to help grow and promote this incredible music. So between the two of us, we have submitted, or we have donated a dollar to the ECMAs. We've done our part.
Oh, you cracked it already. I heard that. That's a lovely
sound.
I've
cracked it already. I've made the executive decision. We're going to drink the Garrison one first. Mostly because it's completely out of date. Ooh. Oh, that smells outstanding.
Before I get the notes in there, does it smell of, dare I say it, it's a wheat ale, does it smell of the usual wheat ale odours, my friend? There we go. I can't say odours, I mean bouquets.
Yeah.
Odours smell like something you get in your tennis.
Honestly, it was smelling very malty. Had a very malt-forward bouquet on it, but now I'm getting a bit more of the grain, that wheaty, that barleyness sort of in the back of it, but not up front. What is la temperature that you are quaffing at? Mine's been out of the cold room for quite a number of hours.
Yeah, mine's been out for probably 6 hours. In fact, more than that. So it's been sit here out of the cold for a long time. It's not room temperature. It's a nice, cool... It's probably 10 or 12 degrees, I would imagine. Perfect for what I would like my beer served at.
That's what I think. Whoa.
Straw. Golden straw, yellowy, well, typical wheat beer.
Look
at the head on it.
Isn't a wheat beer usually a little hazy? Bit thick?
Am I wrong? Can be. Is this unfiltered? It is. Did you get the entire contents? You didn't in the glass yet.
No, I've only fit half so far. No, I'm trying. I want to get all my sea monkeys. I want to get my my full.
I'm suggesting you will find an awful lot of them down at the bottom. I bet this is a little not clear. Although it is at the moment.
That's almost all of it. And look, you can still see this is my face making face motions.
If this is unfiltered, where did all the yeast go? Where did all the sediment go?
Where did all the... It's getting a little hazy at the very, very end here.
Mm.
There's the stuff. Now, me glass is absolutely brimming, but it's got a bit of a haze now. I don't think I could even lift that up. Hang on.
Okay. I've got the whole can in there,
You squeezed it in. Okay, yeah, I squeezed mine in as well.
I didn't even squeeze it. I've got plenty ahead of the. It's just gone a little less clear, but there's no sediment in it, which is extremely surprising.
No, it's true. It's got a bit more of a copper color to it. It's not perfectly clear. It's still bubbling, but it's not that... Because that was like a straw, a very flaxen lager is what it looked like before. So I'm glad we squeezed it. We fully squeegeed it in there.
Squoze it. The past is full of the verb to squeeze. Squoze. Yes. I like that.
I don't know that's accurate, but I've heard it said before.
I'm going to use it from now on. That's
okay.
It's smooth.
I think I need to get close to it to take this first sip. Are we all set to try the ECMAs?
It's the color of a cider, I would say. That's how I would normally see a cider. The head is completely disappeared. Yes, I'm hoping not because it's been sat there too long. Because, like you say, it's a year. It might even be longer than that. So, but there's plenty of bubbles going on.
I'm getting a honey scent off of it as well.
I'm not getting much at all.
Okay, cheers.
Okay. No, the taste of honey. Mm. I didn't get much of a smell. From a wheat beer? That's unusual. Did they say there was supposed to? Oh, you said you couldn't find any information on it.
I couldn't find any information on it. No, but it...
They didn't boast of honey, but there is definitely a sweetness to it that I wasn't expecting.
There's a nice little sweetened tang. Now, it is a year old, so I'm wondering if the flavor may have changed in the can from some amount of time. But I like that. I very like that. The honey is almost more of a barley flavor, so it's got that kind of wheaty wheat beer flavor to it, but with a zip of sweet.
It is like a wheat, but I'm thinking... there is that telltale wheat beer taste. Yeah. You get. It's very different. You know, we talk about the bananas or whatever. You get that sometimes with the wheat beers. But if someone stuck that in front of my face and without a can and said, how will you describe this beer? Style of beer do you think this? I would be struggling to cut. I wouldn't say immediately a wheat beer if I didn't know it said it on the can. A pale ale, a slightly sweet ale, maybe. It doesn't smack of wheat beer, but it's got a subtle banana-y flavor.
True. If you got the mild cloudiness out of it, I would then say, yeah, that could almost be a wheat beer, but I'd be expecting a bit more. Well, the flavors that I'm expecting to come from it are actually, in my imagination, unpleasant. So this is a very pleasant surprise.
Once you squoze it in.
Once it squoze all the way into the glass, yes. It's that is surprisingly delicious. I didn't think I was going to like this much.
I'm not bowled over by it. I think it's suffering from any kind of... It's a bit flat.
Well, which is weird, because I've still got bubbles running up through. You see those?
Yeah, and you've got something going on the surface as well.
Barely. Yeah, the head is pretty much gone. I think the only thing on the surface is the lettering on the side of my Garrison pint glass here.
This is, to me, it's got the effervescence of a homebrew that I haven't transferred over very long, to be honest. It's like it's been maybe... But I've primed it, but it's only been in there about 5 days. That's what it's a bit like.
It doesn't have the stank, but yeah, where you say light, but that's what they're going for. It's a 4.5, so you're kind of...
Okay.
For a 4.5, it's got some flavor to it.
It's
beery. You know, it doesn't have its own individual flavor, but what is that sweet? It comes through as honey. It comes through as like an apple juice. You know that way that you've just had a really a watered down apple juice at the back of the throat. Kind of, it's just kind of there. The sweet registry of your mouth there. It's just hitting, just tingling that tiny, tiny little bit.
So not only does it look a bit like a cider, it reminds you a little bit of its...
It does.
Yeah, I'll go with that. It's not to me. I would not peg this for a wheat beer.
No, so failed Radler, maybe.
Okay, fair enough. But what we will say about it is, because we've done a number of stronger ales recently, and they're both 4.5%, so they are smashable.
Oh yes. Oh my goodness, yes. You could basically order a pitcher of this each, and be pretty happy. If you were thirsty, this is a thirsty beer. I'm glad I was a little bit thirsty, honestly. My supper was a tad salty.
It is a summery drink to me. Even though it's still 4.5%, it's not weak, but it has the consistency. It's not a particularly difficult beer to drink, which is great, but I'm finding it's a little lacking in substance myself. I like it to have a little more to it. It's a bit bland. Yes, there is some sweetness to it, and we've got a little bit of honey. I get that. It's a tiny bit banana-ish that I would associate with the wheat beer, but it's not knocking my socks off. It's a little bit dull, personally. And it's Garrison. Garrison do some... Garrison know a thing or two about beer. They've been doing it for over 30 years.
It's true, but I'm wondering, and you know, we both like the crazy, the novelty beers, the beers with the big personalities and whatnot, but if this is this is collaboration with several other breweries, let's celebrate East Coast music. What I don't get is, why wasn't it just like a pale ale or an IPA? But no, someone said, how will we celebrate the ECMAs? Wheat ale, Gerald. So, who invited this guy? Who suggested that we should have a celebrational ECMA ale called that's a wheat ale? It just seems like it's not a very popular genre of beer making. Not many people are making a wheat beer. I mean, we haven't compared that many. We've done more Hefeweizens, but Hefeweizens, that we've learned, is like the Germanic extra cloves, extra...
I like those.
The like spicy those. Wheat beers. But these are just kind of, yeah, this is American wheat beers, Kansas City, you know, football.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they would have served this can? Do you think it would have been available to buy at the ECMAs? Because I'm assuming there's a bar there. So I'm assuming this would have been front and center.
Should hope so. And if I were invited to the ECMAs, which was not really, but you'd go, and then someone said, hey, we made a beer specially for the ECMAs. And sadly, we've been doing this for 3 years, and I have been, as soon as someone said, oh, we made this one special as a special, you know, an homage, or, you know, for a celebrational thing, I at first had been, ooh, that's exciting. But the more I hear stuff like that, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be okay.
Yeah, opportunistic to jump on a bit of a bandwagon and to, you know, capture the zeitgeist, and then you drink it and you're like, it's just a can. We are representing this and that, and you know, there's nothing different about it.
It is the literal definition of too many cooks spoil the broth. You know, so you're sitting there, you get invited to the ECMAs, you're waiting to accept your award, you're wearing your disco plaid suit to accept the greatest award for newest hip hop artist with an L in his name, and they plonk that in. This is our special ECMA beer that five local maritime breweries got together and made in conjunction with each other. I would wince. I'd be like, they all tried to work on it together from different, oh no, and it's specifically for the easy, oh, this is gonna be terrible. And then you try this and you think, oh hello. So I don't know. I think it's because I am really enjoying this because I was prejudging it very cynically.
Okay. It's non-offensive to me. It's just not very exciting. It's perfect. Oh, by the way, maybe it's because I haven't had as much water today as I could have. But I'm actually already... It's putting a healthy glow into my cheeks. And it's only 4.5%, and I've only had about 2/3 of the can. But I do feel it warming me up.
Okay.
Now, surprise. That's a surprise.
Yeah.
It is smashable. It's quaffable. It's not exciting, but I reckon this is actually a bit sessionable.
I think it's...
For a music session.
Yeah.
A bull.
A novelty, celebrational wheat beer. I think it's the work. I think it's doing the right thing. I will politely and happily give it an 8.6.
For a wheat beer, I'm not excited by it. 6.5 out of 10. It's still better than a sour, but it's just not doing much for me. And it is. But on the other hand, if it was a warm day, yesterday was beautiful. Mm. Today's like, we've had your eclipse now. You can go back to 5 degrees.
Well, there you go. So you're sitting out in the lawn. Someone says, here you go. Here's your eclipse glasses, and here's a beer.
Yeah, I'd be quite happy with it. I'd probably have three or four of them as well, and feel a healthy glow myself afterwards. It's okay. It's not exciting. But six and a half for a wheat beer, okay. For a beer itself. Yeah, seven. Not terrific, but okay. Have you finished?
I have a sliver down at the bottom, and I almost forgot to leave my sliver. That would have been quite embarrassing. Stand.
Excuse me.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, that one's not available anymore. Obviously, I don't know if they're going to do a track four. I was on the Garrison website, and I don't think they have sort of any fancy... Wait, what? Their website said that they were closed for the night, but they'll be back tomorrow. I had to click on something different. So, okay, about the beers in season. Here we go. No, benched Glutenberg Seaport sodas. So... the in-season ones are the Holdfast Dry Hopped Pale Ale, the Deja Mu, the Juicy Lil Juicy. Is that a Dippa? I don't know. The Georgia Peach and the Nut Brown. So they don't seem to have anything about a new ECMA beer for this year. And maybe that's because I couldn't even tell you. I mean, didn't... Okay. ECMA 2024. Hosted this year by Rose Cousins and Damn It Doyle. May Noisemaker is going to be the East Coast Pointers. Blah, 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 blah. The Delta Prince Edward. Tell me where it's going to be. Heading back to Charlottetown PEI. Okay, so maybe they're going to have like a track three or a track four Charlottetown PEI. I don't know. I haven't read much, or we haven't had anyone from Garrison to talk to just yet. Have I reached out? I can't remember if I've reached out or not, but it would be neat if they continue to do that on a yearly basis, and maybe the ECMA Brew 2024. Let's try this artist lineup. ECMA's partners, the ECMA Craft Beer Collective.
Wow, there's a whole bunch of them. There are a lot of collaborations now. It's interesting because when we were speaking with Les, was it last week from Roofhound?
Yep.
And he was saying it's not the you know, we were under this illusion, maybe not an illusion. We were under the apprehension that the craft brewers, they were kind of bigging up each other. They were supporting each other and passing on their good vibe, etc. And they were really bigging up the industry. And he was saying it's not as friendly as it used to be. It's a little more cutthroat. People are less likely to sort of share the wealth, as it were, or share their knowledge. So when you have all these collaborations now, there's this one, of course. There's the what's the one that they had with the big Brew Fest on just this last Saturday.
Together We Brew Fest, I think. We both missed out on that, apparently.
Yeah, 25 breweries were represented there. I'm hoping, by the way, I've had a touch of... I've not been particularly well this last few days, and I'm hoping this isn't going to make me feel a little bit worse without going into the medical signs of it. But, I'm hoping that having a couple of ales this evening isn't going to put me back a little bit. I should be okay.
It's okay, the prescription.
The collaborations, and this is nice. But do you think it's almost like they said, "Yeah, all right, we'll get these breweries together and we'll come up with something." But really, they're not like, "Yeah, we ain't that excited about this idea. We'll just give them a basic thing, and they can sell it at their
ECMAs." So this one is saying it is called Track 3, and I have read some things about Track 4, Track 3 and Track 2. So I think every year, so this may be this upcoming year might be their fourth try, and this is the ECMA Craft Beer Collective, and it's those same five breweries that were on the side of this can. So it's the same group coming together again. It's Upstreet, okay. Breton, Garrison, Grimross, I'm learning, and I just looked it up while you were talking, is in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and KDVD is in St. John's, Newfoundland. So it is the five boroughs of the Atlantic provinces. It's not the sixth, it does not include Labrador, apparently. But apart from that, it's got everybody else.
Well, then they're using Cape Breton as a sort of separate entity within Nova Scotia, but it's a second. Yeah,
it's that's a interesting. Borough.
A borough. What?
It's a unique borough of the Atlantic provinces.
A borough. Right. Okay.
You're on Cape Breton, and they all. Oh man, you don't say. Never tell someone that they're from Cape Breton that they're from Nova Scotia. Do not. No. There's Cape Breton, and then there's the mainland. Mainland, as though Cape Breton is this floating island that sort of wanders away on its own.
They do that. Just a second. They do that in. I'll just drop this in there.
Uh-oh.
I'll just drop this down. When I was in Alaska in 1994, and it was during the Soccer World Cup, which just happened to be held in the United States of America that summer, and it was in, I don't know, L.A. and New York, various places in the States. I was based in Fairbanks, Alaska, Eielson Air Force Base, for 5 weeks during that summer of 94. And we took a weekend away to drive down to Anchorage. We thought we're going to have to go down and jump on a boat and maybe go and see some icebergs and some glaciers and that kind of stuff, which we did. And while we were staying in Anchorage for that long weekend, we went, of course, to a number of public establishments for the evening for a few drinks. And there was this guy, and he said, he was up there saying, okay. And he was in a pub and he says, who's going to win the Soccer World Cup? And everyone couldn't have given a flying toss, by the way. And they said they had no interest in it. But even though it was being held in the United States, they were still calling the United States. They don't even consider themselves American there. They call that the lower 48. They are Alaskans. In the same way as Hawaiians call themselves Hawaiians, Alaskans call themselves Alaskas, and all that lot down there, the big, big blob, are Americans. They're the lower 48. I would imagine that's quite similar to how certain people in Canada call them. They are their own little community, as it were, and they think they're consider themselves to be a little apart from the main body. Does that make sense?
Yes, and out here in the Atlantic provinces, you know, Nova Scotia on its own, we do that a bit ourselves, because we make fun of the fact that everyone in Toronto thinks that Toronto and Montreal is Eastern Canada, and there's nothing further east of that. And that's it. You know, you go to, oh, where are you going? I'm going out east to Montreal, to the coast. You know, there's nothing further.
You mentioned
1994. I was telling you just before, when we were talking about eclipses, the last time I saw a solar eclipse here in Nova Scotia was in 1994.
Is that right?
It was in May. May of 1994 was a full, what they call an annular solar eclipse, which means that it doesn't block it out entirely, but it went straight over it. So there was a ring. It was, you saw the ring of the sun around the back. But I remember it being quite dim as well. And I did check on the path to see whether it went over Alaska that May.
And?
It did not. It missed Alaska fully. It basically went from San Diego right up through the U.S., right through the middle, hit Maine and over Nova Scotia, and then went off and did its own thing. But
I was there in July and August, but of course it wouldn't have. The sun never went down in August while I was there. It did, but just barely. For about half an hour, it was dusky. Around about 1 o'clock in the morning, for about half an hour, it got dusky, and then immediately it was coming back up again. Ooh. It's crazy.
I just thought it was kind of interesting. You brought up your story of Anchorage, Alaska, in the year that was the last time that I saw a solar eclipse. So I've seen. Ooh, I've seen two solar eclipses in my life, right here in piddly little Nova Scotia, that is no far east of Canada than Toronto. Now,
good size one, 2017, by the way. It went dark in 2017 in Nova Scotia. Not full, but I don't know what that was, but that was a good size one. Where I looked up there myself and thinking, that's a decent size big partial eclipse in 2017. It got a bit dusky. It also did when I was in Germany in 1990, whatever that would have been, 1999, when my brother came over. He actually came all the way over from the UK to stay with me in Germany. They went down to southern Germany to watch this full eclipse that was going to happen. It hammered down with rain. He said it was a complete washout. So he said, to hell with it, I'm going to Cairo. So he went and watched one in Egypt. And there's another one in, he said, I said, please, he said, if you ever get the chance to see a Total One, he said, do it. He's going out again to Egypt in 2027 to see the next one, next Total One. He said it's astonishing to see a total eclipse with the complete
solar
blackout.
2017, here we go. Solar eclipse, blah, 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 blah. So it went from like Washington State up in the Northwest U.S. and it came southward actually towards Georgia and South Carolina. So I don't finding the best the best viewing spot in Canada. You couldn't see it in Canada. Whatever it was. Yeah, no wonder I didn't pay attention to that 2017 one. Rubbish, rubbish. She says, "Nah, it's got to pass right over." And then I'm
here, Ross.
Yeah,
Ross. Hopefully, this next beer will eclipse the first.
Do you know what made me a little sad? A long time ago, before you were on the show, one of my first ones, I drank the Eclipse Black IPA from Lund's Mill, and it was delicious. I should have got that one again. Actually, that would have been great.
Mm.
And then we could have done the show exactly yesterday. Did it exactly as the sun kind of hazes over. But instead, we get to look at Brightwood Brewery out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and they are sadly closing somewhere near the end of this month, so I'm not sure for how much longer you'll be able to get this one, but this was one of the Brightwood ones that we had not had yet, so I picked this up while I was in there, getting my pint glass and all. Another 4.5 wheat beer called Wheat Hound. I don't know why hound, but there it is, and it looks, that's kind of Dalmatian-y looking with the spots on the... on the can, and then wheat chaffs in behind it. So a yellow, white wheat chaffs on a white background, and then the yellow and black text fontiness on it. All our beers are brewed for you by a crew of passionate people in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. Tasting notes, citrus is a 3 out of 5, bitterness 1 out of 5, malt 3 out of 5, and haze 3 out of 5. So we're going to get some more haze in this, shall we? Lovely, lovely. And then the only other thing that it says on the can is classic American wheat with a citrus dry hop. Then you go on the internet.
The first one that we did was brewed last year and is no longer available. This one, the whole brewery is closing down, so you need to go and get this one double quick.
So
you won't be able to get this one.
So I went on their website, and usually they have descriptions on their shop, but the shop link is gone. So they don't even have a link to the shop. They have a link. You can read about their tap room. You can read about their store location and things like that. But you cannot actually go to the shop or find out more about their beers. This one did a little bit of a splash. That's cool. I'll just tidy myself up here.
I want to see the glass. I want to see the glass that you're going to try to squeeze this into.
Yes. So when I went in and I said, oh, hello, and I didn't tell them that I heard they were closing and I definitely need to get a glass, but I said, I need to buy a pint glass. And they had the stand, you know, the nice, what they call the shaker glasses. These, what I call triangular ones, where, you know, it's kind of wider at the top, thinner at the bottom. But this, they had these in the shelf. And I said, is that a beer glass? I said, I've never seen one that shape. And he says, well, it's basically just a stemless wine glass. So you can, if you can imagine a stemless wine glass, that's all this is. And then it just says Dartmouth Brightwood Brewery on the side. And it looks like it would hold about half a Coke can. So I'm looking forward to making sure this overflowing. It is now, look, it's filling up the top of the can out here of my 473. Big, tall boy.
Mine just did the same. It breached.
Filled to the brim. Well done, Brightwood. Thank you very much for putting all of the beer in your cans. Very, very golden. There's that honey. There's that honey sweetness once again. I'm so curious about this. These are wheat ales that I was not expecting this kind of a flavor from. So...
There's a stronger bouquet to this, mate. I'm getting, there's more going on in this.
Yeah.
And it's pouring with a nice head.
Look at that creamy, frothy head on that one. Yes, that's the good stuff.
I'm not getting honey. I'm not getting a sweetness from the smell, to be honest. It smells more like what I would expect from a wheat beer. This one is more.
Once the head sort of picked up and it started mixing around in there, that honey smell that I smelled only upon initially opening the can, that has definitely gone away.
It's creamy.
I'm already getting, yeah, I haven't poured the entire can in, but I'm already getting it. It's a little bit hazy, just that little,
yeah, it is.
Teeny bits. It's a bit of a buble, but honestly, the carbonation, I was seeing more bubbles. Oh, no, there they are. Now I can see them. I can see the bubbles now coming up in the middle. Lots of carbonation in there. The smell is more beery than honey-y. Is that we're using all the correct words, obviously. It's a honeyish beeriness in this one. Obviously, it's.
How many E's would you have to put on bee, eerie, and honeyish? It's. I think when you say a bit more beerish, it's a little more. It's not boozy necessarily. No. It's not a boozy smell. Well, it's 4.5
again. If you take the side of the can, it's telling you that it's a 3 out of 5 citrus, 1 out of 5 bitter, 3 out of 5 malt, and 3 out of 5 haze. The only thing that I can get from the smell and the look of it is that the 3 out of 5 haze, yes, that's about a 3 out of 5 haziness. It's
quite fragrant, but it's got more of a wheat smelling profile than the other one had, which would to me was more like a pale ale smell to it. This is more in keeping from what I'm used to with wheat beers, and I managed to force all mine into the glass again without any problem. What did you do? Is that's not the whole can?
There's a tiny, tiny little bit left, and I'm gonna get it in there. This holds more.
473. That's a full 473.
That's a full 473, and it's slightly less brimmed. Look, I can even pick it up because I couldn't. I could not pick up McGarrison one. It was brimmed. That's fascinating. It's an inch shorter than the Garrison glass. But it's just...
It's the TARDIS of glasses.
I think
for
it's
anyone who's a bit nervous.
Fat bottomed glass right there.
Yeah.
Anywho, not really like knowing much more about the description of this one, other than saying it's a classic American wheat with a citrus dry hop. Unsure really what we're getting into here. All set?
American wheat.
Tiny?
An American wheat as opposed to a Weisse beer. Like you were talking about the Germanic,
like a Kenyan beer. Wheat beer. That would taste quite a bit different.
Kenyan wheat beer. They're very famous for their wheat beers. Coffee's teas.
Oh my goodness! You'd step off the airport and everyone's gonna sell you a shirt and just immediately says the Nairobi Brewing Company.
Yeah,
wheat chaffs. The wheat chaff actually is both eyes in Nairobi is a wheat chaff.
I'll figure that out. I'll watch this back later on and try to make head or tail of that. I just took a little. I forget where I was. I didn't do it with you, and I took a little.
Oh dear.
Taste.
Oh.
It's so smooth. It's so creamy. It's really smooth.
Well, all
cheers,
right.
Mate.
Full gulps. Then here we go.
All right.
Bottoms up. Chocks away.
That's a different animal entirely from the Garrison.
Is it? I say there's a boozy hit at the back? That tastes like a rum finish. That tastes oak cask aged. Does it not?
This is hands down. This is totally eclipsing. The last one. This is well, murdering it. It's wiping the floor with it, I'm afraid.
We may need to turn around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a bit of a taste of a wheat beer that I haven't had before. Turn around.
Totally eclipsing it. It's really nice. I like this.
It's hitting in different ways. It's getting a little bit of a bitter. It's very smooth. It's almost identical to the Garrison and the first bit. Then the middle hits me with this slight bitter. There's something going on. And then the end of it finishes with this, I can't even describe it as anything other than a whiskey cask aged strong ale, despite the fact that it's a 4.5. And the only description for this tail end that I'm thinking of now, and I'm getting it now. It's the smell of pencil shavings.
The smell of pencil shavings.
That wood, that shaved wood, that kind of fresh, thinly sliced. It's a pencil shavings.
So hopefully it's the wood and not the graphite that you're getting the smell of.
True, but it might be the lead poisoning talking.
Yeah, maybe. This is really balanced. I find it's all the way through, right to the...
It's way more interesting. Where you said the other one was boring and bland, this one's way more interesting. It's got so much more going on. If someone plonks this down, I would say, that's really good, but should I have another that's a bit strong? Say, oh, it's just a 4.5, sir. I say, what? You sure you haven't misplaced a decimal in that somewhere? This tastes so much stronger than a 4.5. The other one tasted like a 4.5.
It still doesn't have I guess maybe there's the difference between the Weissen beers, the Hefeweizen beers, and wheat beers. It doesn't have that clovey, bananery-ness that you associate with those Hefeweizens.
Classic American.
Yes. So I think that's outstanding. I like that. Why? They're closing down. How many other wheat beers do we get to sample to even compete? It's such a shame. If you get something that's a winner, oh God, are we going to have to go and pick some of these up? I think I might have to. Actually, Ross, now this has been sat here for a minute or two without me drinking it, I'm actually getting, weirdly, a little sweetness to that as well. Mm. And it's coating my mouth. And I was so intent on drinking it because I was enjoying the flavor. I'm getting a little sweetness to this one as well. This is so good. It's a real shame this one's dying.
So we have tried some wheat beers, but I've got them categorized under some Hefeweizens and some Weizen beers. So I think the German wheat beers, we may have had some more of those types, where this one is just, like, it's just your bog standard. This is a wheat beer. Germans have made a beer that's kind of wheaty, but we've taken most of the personality out of it, any of the spice and any cloying elements of weirdness, banana and clove. And we've basically watered down and just made it wheaty.
Really?
Kenyans are rolling over in their graves drinking this one.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same flavor that I expect from the German style wheat beers. But it's saying it right on the can. This is an American style wheat beer. I don't know what the difference is. Why there would be a difference? Clearly, there's going to be something which sets one apart from the other. In the same American red ale is different from an Irish red or whatever. I don't know. However, I really like this a lot, and it's pissing all over the one from Garrison, I'm afraid to say. And Garrison are so good, and Brightwood are leaving. So there you go.
They're both very smooth. They're both very sessionable, but the Brightwood one certainly has more personality to it.
Oh, well, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
I'm happy to go up to an 8.9 for these guys, for this one. Sticking with my, what did I call the other one? 8.7? I mean, I know they're very close together, but I'm marking the upper echelons.
Do you like wheat beers, typically?
No! I do not.
And you're giving it... Right, okay.
Because for a wheat beer, that... Yeah. I say this every time. For my own personal tastes, this is like a 6. But for what they're trying to do, with my objective taste buds on...
Yes.
I'm saying... Yeah. You've done what you said on the can. You've done what you said you were going to do. You've provided what people are expecting when they say, I am a wheat beer fan. I will try all the wheat beers and they will be excellent. And I feel like trying both of these, there'd be opinions, but I think wheat beer fans would approve of both of these, but potentially and hopefully lean towards the Brightwood.
I don't think wheat beer fans, if you're a big wheat beer fan, I don't think the Garrison one would do it for you at all, personally. Mm. One would. The Brightwood one would. Yes, it would. In my opinion.
But again, I mean, what are we? We are dark beer enthusiasts. So what are we looking for? We're looking for the smooth. We're looking for the sweet, the chocolatey, the creamy, the, you know, good nitrous infused type of thing. So if you said, I am a wheat beer enthusiast, what is a perfect wheat beer? And I'm trying to imagine what that would taste like.
I think this is easier. This is actually easier to drink. It's a creamier, smoother wheat beer than the Germanic style, European style that I'm a little more used to. This is actually, to me, is a more rounded, easier to drink ale with the same. You do get that wheat beer taste in your mouth without it being too classic. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me either. I know I'm drinking a wheat beer with this one, whereas the other one I didn't. But this is it's an entirely smoother affair than the Germanic style, which I'm more used to.
Yeah.
I like this one.
And that makes me kind of question a number of different things. Because would someone who really likes a Hefeweizen or a Weizen beer, they come up and say, what is going on with this one? It's far too easy to drink. I need something that actually makes me, it makes my taste buds angry.
Is that your German?
It makes me want to fight. Do you need to have that flavor? It's like, oh no, this is too smooth. Send it back. Have the chef shot. You know, Lieutenant Colonel Dusseldorf of the Germanic beer gardens. I don't know how. I don't know. It's a tasteless World War II jokes racist.
I love this. This is a solid 9 out of 10 for a wheat beer. It's really, ooh, really good. It's really excellent. I like wheat beers more than you do, quite clearly, because when I asked you and you said straight up no, but of course my leanings are more like yours. I like a darker beer, I like a maltier ale, but this is, I've made wheat beers in the past just from boxes. I've made quite a few of these homebrew wheat beers because I wanted something a bit different from the usual oaty and malty stuff that I do. And this is,
I know. I'm fine in my little pigeonhole. It's perfect. It fits pigeons.
I've enjoyed wheat beers, making them, and just for a change. But if I were to make a wheat beer, and it turned out like this, I would be like, oh my god, I need to make more. This is really, really nice. And I like a maltier beer, but even for a beer, this is still a summery beer, Ross, to me. It's still a summery ale, this is. Can you imagine when you've finished mowing your lawn? I know you like to go out and have 3 or 4 drinks when you're mowing your lawn. If this was cooled down a little bit on a warm summer's day, and you finished mowing your lawn, and it already smells of grass and wheat, etc., going on in your and going on in your yard. And I think this would accompany it perfectly.
I agree, and I was going to say that about the first one as well. It is a pretty good lawn mowing beer as well. But in my defense, the size of my lawn is a 3-beer lawn. It has nothing to do with me trying to drink my face off. It takes 3 hours to mow the entirety of the lawn if I'm doing it all at once. And I've done it a couple of times in Nova Scotia when the weather holds nice enough for 3 straight hours and you can mow your stupid lawn in the summertime without it pouring rain on you or suddenly being a hurricane for no reason.
There's just the one. Every time I see your yard, I cannot, well, not your yard, but the grass itself, I cannot get my mind. Every time I see that lovely willow tree, the weeping willow, and that expanse of lovely lawn, I just see images of people sinking, their chairs dying. We fell foul of it. We turned up at your... obviously at your wedding there in the yard, which was quite a unique experience, and there would just be this horrendous deluge about an hour beforehand. You thought, oh no, this is going to be a washout. But of course, it cleared up. It was beautifully sunny for
it. Oh, it was perfect. All the pictures make it seem like there was not torrential rain just 2 hours before.
No, and I think it was we took our seats and immediately started sinking. And the people around us were like, yeah, been there, bought the t-shirt.
You have to sort of hover squat. You got to do one of the...
How long did it take you to suck all those, not you, but whoever it was that got the chairs out of the lawn afterwards?
I set up. I put in place every single one of those chairs. But yes, it was Brittany's army of uncles and cousins that took everything out. And I saw them. They were going back in the back of the truck, and there was mud up to the whole leg, right up to the seat in a few of the cases.
Yeah. So if you're mowing that entire lawn, three of these would do quite well for you, wouldn't it? Me too.
I'd like to go a little higher than a 4 or 5. I'd like to be feeling by, because I'm also, I mean, I'm mainlining the water as well. I'm just crushing water. I'm going through about 2 or 3 water bottles as I'm going through as well, especially if the sun's out. Holy. That'd be one strong star at the center of our solar system.
Yeah, it is.
Causing all the retinal damage and skin cancer and the whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I've got the usual here. Exactly a finger or two of each. I almost don't want to go back to the East Coast Music Awards Garrison offering, because it's such a walkover for me for a wheat ale. It's going to taste a bit bland. Well, it was already a bit bland. It's going to be, however, as a caveat to that, I've done that before and gone back to the other one and expecting me to go there, and I've gone, no. Why is it now better than it was when I left it half an hour ago? Hopefully that will be the case. I'm going to go back and drink the Garrison. What does it smell like to you? Completely different.
It smells like new clothing at the mall.
Oh, nice. Not in a good way. It smells a bit like a toilet, which it didn't before. It's just because it's quite different. It smells a bit like a toilet.
It's got nothing. It's got so little to it. All right, the Garrison. Quick little splash of that one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even going to register. And it's cucumber water. It's just kind of a yep. There's a little tiny sweetness to it, and so it remains light. That is a fantastic light beer. Not quite it's a wheat beer though.
No, it's a pale ale to me, and that's not
hazy,
say,
light pale ale.
It's a pale ale. It's not a wheat ale. It to me, I don't know how they make it and what makes it a wheat ale. Wheat would help. It doesn't taste of a wheat ale to me. It's just it's a pale ale, especially when you put it next to something that really is tasting like a wheat ale. It totally puts it in the shade. This Wheat Hound is really good. In my humble opinion.
Are you putting the... did you finish the Brightwood ounce?
Totally. Look at that. When Brightwood close?
I want to say end of the month, but I know that that was the announcement that Off Track made, and they were going to be selling everything by the end of March. Yes. So I'm trying to find some information on Brightwood here, starting from the blah 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 blah, 3 years of blah 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 blah, plugging it with blah, blah.
They've only been going 3 years, did you say? Was that right? After 3 years?
Oh no, it's just after years of planning, after things of that, June 2016. So 2016, Brightwood made their first commercial sale. So a lot of information in there, and it's the only thing that's really telling on the Brightwood page is that their store is no longer available. You can't go and buy things online.
Okay.
But
you can go to their brewery.
You can still visit the tap room on Portland Street in Dartmouth. And as far as I know, if you kind of, there we go, let's go to, because I think they announced it like most Nova Scotia businesses do on their Facebooky page, so this might tell a different, hey all, here are the hours for the weekend until we hit pause button on the tap room. Ah, Good Friday. I'm wrong. You can't go to the Brightwood tap room right now.
Ah, okay.
In the summer.
Yeah, that was the Easter.
Did not go as planned. Oh, just if I click see more, you'd think that see more. We will be closing down our tap room on March 31st to focus on restructuring the business. Because I asked them, and they said, oh, yeah, we're definitely closing down the tap room. And I said, well, I mean, the brewery's going to keep going. And he went, so it's still potentially up in the air. So I just sort of said, could I buy a pint glass? And I'll also take those two that we've not tried yet before, please. And then we'll get out of here. I keep meaning to reach out because I forget who I was talking to, but I think I was talking to one of the brewers. He was receptive to potentially coming on and talking to us. And I think for the first time, we'll be talking to, if we get this opportunity, we'll talk to a brewer or brewmaster who is in the process of closing down his brewery. Which, it could be a little bit bittersweet, but it's unique.
Process structuring, though, sounds slightly different from, we tried hard, but unfortunately we're swimming against the tide and we have to close down. There's a bit of difference there, because we've read a bunch of sad farewells from local craft beer breweries recently, and they're saying that same thing, haven't they, about that they tried hard, unfortunately it didn't quite work out for them, and due to lots of things, but that's not what they are saying. Restructuring your business is a little different.
Maybe, it's the whole, was there too quick of an expansion? Did you expect everybody to show up? Because if you're right there in HRM, that's the biggest market slice, but Serpent closed down. They were out in Spryfield. Off Track is closing down. They're in Bedford. But I think Serpent and Off Track, I think they were, Brightwood to a lesser extent, tap rooms with no food as part of it. And when we were talking to Les last week at Roofhound, he's got there's the tap room, but there's also the food thing. So people come in for a meal. You come in for a thing and, I'll have a burger and a pint. Oh, you got beers? Neat. So the brewery sales continue on. So are you like a restaurant first? And a restaurant can make a viable go of it. And a brewery might be able to make a viable go of it, but it's the combination of the two that maybe make it the best. I've got a few ideas for talking to people. We should have asked Lund's Mill this, because Lund's Mill was a brewery restaurant and they separated during ye old pandemic. They said, we don't want to deal with the restaurant anymore. We're now just a tap room. And I'm curious to see how that panned out, because they're one of the few ones that I think did that. Meanwhile, I've reached out again to, because Wayfarers has changed hands and changed brewers again. Yep. So I'd like to reach out to them again, and we might be able to talk to them in the coming future. So a few.
When you go to a craft brewery as opposed to just a restaurant which sells craft brews, which is always nice, let's be honest. If you go to a restaurant and they just serve Boddington's, that'd be amazing.
I would be impressed. I would stay.
Budweiser and Coors and Keith's. Then they're not supporting local. They're just a restaurant that exists to sell food. But when you go to a craft brewery and might have three or four drinks there, if you're lucky enough to be able to get a drive back. Are you in the mood usually to have something like traditional bar snacks? And I say snacks, I don't mean peanuts, bar snacks. I mean
fries,
to have
some nachos.
Absolutely. I normally am. They seem to go hand in hand. The days of... In the UK, by the way, if I went to... Before I emigrated, if I went to a snug, if I went to a pub, I would be quite happy to sit there and have six pints of local beer and some bar nuts. I'd be okay with that. I might get a bag of crisps or a bag of pork scratchings, and I'll be happy with that. But my palate, since I've been in now 16 years, is if I go to a place, well, I want to sit down for 3 or 4 hours and have a few drinks with either Rebecca or family or friends or whatever. I kind of feel that I want to be eating something. And I know it's crazy expensive. Taking that out of the equation right now, we know that food and booze is crazy expensive. But you do feel, if you do go out for sort of an afternoon or an evening and you have more than just a pint, you kind of feel that you want to be eating something. I do. So,
but I don't want a big burger, not after two beers. If I have two beers, then I'm sort of like, give me your nacho platter. Give me your side of sweet potato fries. Give me something, a little bit of a nibbling on the side kind of thing. Whereas I wouldn't go out and say, right, I would like your largest helping of lasagna and three pints of Guinness.
You see, Ross, if I'm going to have any beer, I'm not going to have lasagna. I'm never going to have anything like pasta-ish. Or it's going to be a bready, fried thing. It's going to be pizza. It's going to be a burger. It's going to be a kebab. It's going to be nachos. It's going to be something that's really... I'm not going to get into, I could really go for a Caesar salad with my beer. Or a chicken Alfredo.
That's what I mean.
You want beer foods.
I don't even know what my beer food is. I don't think I've got beer food. It's nachos. I think it's nachos is my beer food. I will eat, like, if they just keep bringing platters of nachos to the table, I'd be there for 7 hours and I would drink pint after pint.
Every Thursday that I'm not working, and when Ghost Walks isn't on, so basically the cold seasons, and we're coming toward the end of them, I'm pitching up a trivia at the Oak and Barrel, and I have my two beers, my two $6 Garrison, funny enough, Garrison Reds, and nachos. And it's just like, nachos is beer food. It's pub food, and it just goes with it. Whereas if I'm in the UK, and I'm going back again in June, several beers. What am I going to do? What am I going to do when I'm walking home from the pub? Because this is what you do in the UK. You walk home from the pub and you get a kebab on the way home.
Pork scratching?
Oh, what's a pork scratching?
Yeah.
Look at it. It's, what do you call it? You have an equivalent here. Pork rinds.
Oh,
but it's not just pork rinds. It's not just pork rinds. It's got seasoning. It's still got meat in it, but it's been deep fried, yes, in pepper and salt and spices, and it's a completely different thing. Black country in the UK is the West Midlands, Wolverhampton, Birmingham, going towards Shropshire. Those are that's what's called black country, and their pork scratchings is the quintessential pork scratchings that you can get in the UK. So when you're in a pub and you say, and you've got maybe a beer on the go, hey, mate, got any pork scratchings back there to the bar? Oh, we've got some pork scratchings. You want some black country pork scratchings? It's pork rinds that you can get here, taken to the nth degree.
We tried pork rinds one time because, Canada, and I don't know, I'm probably absolutely going out on a limb here with this opinion, but I feel like Eastern Canada especially, we are somewhere halfway in between the culture of British/Scottish culture that bleeds over and American culture that bleeds up. So we keep, we watch lots of movies and TV shows, and a roommate and I, this was maybe about 10, 15 years ago, and there's always kind of, we got to get some pork rinds. Hey, pass me the pork rinds. And we're watching it going, I've never had a pork rind. I have no idea what they are. Should we try this? Should we go and get pork rinds? Should we do the thing? We went out and we bought a bag of pork. We're like, there we go. Pork rinds. Here we go. Ah, tried them.
Yeah.
This is the most disgusting food I have ever put in my face. This is horrible. Yeah. What is this? It is. And what I've learned is it's basically puffed rice. It's the Rice Krispie equivalent of pork fat. It's just air puffed pork fat?
Yes. This is why I said it's pork rind taken to the nth degree. It's literally, is genuinely the pork fat with the meat still inside it. which is deep fried.
Unfortunately, I will try anything. So yes, I will have seasoned pork scratchings, despite the fact that I have been disappointed by trying to follow American. I have been disappointed following American culture. I have been disappointed following British culture. I have been disappointed following Scottish culture, which makes me all the more sad that we as Canadians don't have our own culture to go with.
Of course you have your own culture, but do me a favor, will you? But look up pork rinds, traditional North American pork rinds or American pork rinds versus pork scratchings. Black country pork.
Even your description has convinced me that there's a huge difference. But this brings me back again to when we start our brewery / kind of British pub-ish, pub adjacent appetizers and brewery beers. And I'm going, the running title right now is Auld Farts, AuldPharts, for Auld Farts. That'll be the name of our brewery / restaurant thing.
Oh, okay.
And we'll have pork scratchings. We won't have pork rinds. Pork scratchings will be on the menu, 100%. And you can season those up, add black pepper. This is another aside. I have become a real black pepper aficionado. When I grew up, there was no salt and pepper on the table. It was very, very old school Scottish boiled potato. You do not season your meal when it arrives at the table. You don't. So this was a new thing. So when I learned that, oh my God, there's like flavors I can add to stuff. So pretty much everything I make, I'm there with the pepper grinder going. Six grinds.
I've got pepper everything. I love pepper. Pepper can go on absolutely anything.
But I never enjoyed it until, honestly, somewhere around my mid-30s.
So you discovered flavors in beers.
I discovered black pepper when I was 36 years old. Woo! What is happening here? Oh my, what is this flavor sensation I can add to my boiled carrots?
I'm out of here, Ross. I'm eclipsing you. See you, buddy.
I was eclipsing the whole thing. Apparently. I was mentioning this, introducing myself to yet another brewmaster today at Hilltop Hops, hopefully getting on here, John, and saying that we could talk about anything for hours, and we often do. So join us as we talk endlessly for hours again next week, every week, Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. youtube.com/@drinknsdragon. Subscribe to our YouTube page, but that's where the podcasts are available, anywhere podcasty things are. Drink Nova Scotia Dry or Drink NS Dry, and you can go directly to the source at drinkns.unsupervised.beer. But again, we're back here once a week live, 8 p.m. Ian and I will hopefully be talking to some very interesting brewmasters and brewers ourselves. Not that Ian's not a brewer himself. We talk a little bit about homebrew now then. Regardless, that is us for tonight, and we'll see you next week. Good night.